Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
All right. Good to see all of you. Great to have you guys with us. If you're watching online, thank you for being with us. If you're joining us at one of our locations live, we're grateful that you're part of our family and you're here today. And if you're joining us in our partnership with God Behind Bars in different prison facilities around the country, grateful to have you guys. So thankful to have you with us. And we love you. Well, I wonder if you've had a moment in your life, probably many, where you've just thought, I'm done. It's just like a line in the sand. You know, you just sort of draw it. I'm done with whatever it is. It's like a mark for you. I'm done. I'm finished with that thing. I saw a few clips on social media of people that were done, and I thought some of these were pretty funny. Check out this first one. This person says, I need a math nerd to solve the following problem. I make my son a peanut butter sandwich. I cut it diagonally into two triangles. However, he wants squares. Ever been there? If he weighs 55 pounds, how much force is needed to launch him into the sun? This is for all of you homeschooling parents, online learning, and teachers coming up right around the corner. So, yes, she's done with math and with snack time. All right, here's the next one. Check this out. It says, my husband just walked in. He told the dog how cute he is and how much he loves him. He held his face in his hands, stared into his eyes, and gave him forehead kisses. Then he left the room. I'm sitting right next to the dog. How many ladies are like, that's my life. That's my life. I'm living that. She's done, and he's about to be done. So, yes, there's that. All right, next one. Let's bring this up. I saw this. This is a sign that was actually outside of a public restroom, porta restroom. It says, snakes active in this area. Please flush before use. Like, seriously, there could be a snake in the toilet? I'm done. Doesn't matter how bad I think I have to go. I'll hold it. I'm done. But we all know what it is to kind of come to that place where we feel like I'm done. And man, over the last several months, since the coronavirus and the pandemic, have we not all had our share of I'm done kind of moments? I've had plenty of them. I remember early on, like reading 1,000 articles and trying to figure out what was going on. And as a leader, trying to do like planning, leadership planning. And I can remember the day where I finally stopped and said, I'm done with this. Long-term planning is like 2 months. Short-term planning is like a month. Or short-term planning is like a week, mid-term planning is like a month, right? That's all you can do. I'm just like, I'm done with trying to figure this out. I'm done. If you haven't had that moment with the news yet, well, then I don't know what planet you're living on. But, you know, God bless the news, but I'm telling you, man, like I've had a few moments where I'm watching one story that takes something good and then turns it back. Like one little good thing happens, but then they take that and they make it bad, right? No, it's actually a bad thing. You only thought it was a good thing. I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm done. At a moment, walking through our house where when the pandemic first started, we brought all this video gear to our house and our home like became a studio because we didn't know what was going to happen and I had to be able to like do teaching from the living room and just pipe it out on the internet. You know, we weren't sure what was going to go on. And so about 3.5-4 months of all this stuff being all over our house and tripping over lights and cameras and computers and gear, I'm like, I'm done. Get this stuff out of here. We'll figure it out. But I can't do this anymore. Some of you have had I'm done moments that have been turning points in a good way for your life. I can remember in my own life wrestling with addiction and finally coming to that place that kind of every addict has to get to on their own. And it's different for everybody where you finally say, I'm done. I'm done with this. You know, I've got to move on. Some of you, you've been in a relationship and all of a sudden you had that epiphany moment. And you're like, I'm done. I'm done with this relationship, right? Some of you, you said, man, I'm done with people not keeping their word, or I'm done with being treated this way, or I'm done with being abused, or I'm done with being overlooked. Some of you have said, I'm done with my current work situation or lack of work situation. I'm going to move forward. How many have thought, I'm done with my attitude? And if you're not done, your spouse is done and your family members are done with your attitude. Like, Lori was done with my attitude a long time ago, so I've been working on it, right? I'm working on it. But she was done. And that's human nature, and I get it. We all kind of go through those emotions. But sometimes when the frustrations layer one upon the other, and when we find ourselves in really difficult situations for a long time, like we do today, we can come to a place where we feel those words, "I'm done," in a different way. They start to take root in our heart and in our life. And some of you have been there where you just think, "I'm done. I've had enough. I don't believe that God is going to show up. I don't believe that good is going to happen in my life again. I don't believe I can keep going. I'm done. I'm done with life. I'm done with this whole thing. I'm just done." And I want to talk to you today about that lie that takes root in our life when we start to think at that level, "I'm done." Because listen, no matter how done you feel, God is not done with you. No matter how done you feel, God is not done with you. We're kicking off a new teaching series today called Out of My Mind, which a lot of us have felt like we're going out of our minds, but we're going to be talking about the things that we need to get out of our minds, the lies that we need to get out of our minds. In fact, if we don't get these things out of our minds, they're going to drive us out of our minds. So let's look at some of the lies we're going to be talking about. I've got them listed here. Today we're going to talk about the lie, "I'm done." We're going to look at the lie, "I'm on my own." Sometimes we think, you know, things can only get worse, or "I can't do it all," right? Come on, homeschoolers. Or "I won't have enough," or "people are the problem," "I won't be able to handle it," "my faith isn't strong enough." These are the kind of lies that take root in our mind, and if we don't deal with them with biblical truth, if we don't confront them, then they can drive us out of our minds. So we're going to look at how we can get these lies out of our minds by looking at biblical truth and holding on to it in our lives. And today I want to talk to you about Elijah, this prophet in the Old Testament, and an "I'm done" kind of moment that he had, where he just came to the end of himself, and we're going to learn some principles about what he experienced. Now, he had just had this tremendous victory in his life. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it was this amazing victory. And then the next day, the queen issues a death threat over his life. And so Elijah finds himself having to flee the city, and he's on the run fleeing for his life. He'd just come off this huge high, and now it just feels like it was all for nothing. He's frustrated. He's tired. He's alone. And here's what we read. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 4, when we get to the highlighted word, I'm just going to have you say it out loud here with me. But it says, "When he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die." Now, come on, somebody. Anybody ever been there? Just kind of come to the end of yourself and you're like, "God, let's just wrap it up. Let's just do it now. I'm done. I've had enough, Lord." Oh, help me here on this word. I've had what? Enough. Sorry, I sometimes do that. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. And sometimes we get there. We've just had enough. Now, if this can happen to Elijah, the great prophet of God, it can happen to you and it can happen to me. And so I want to talk to you today about what we can do in our life to deal with things and to face this lie that I'm done. And the first thing I want to encourage you with is to remember God's victories. Remember God's victories in your life. I saw this slide on social media, just reminded me that sometimes God communicates so clearly, and sometimes he shows up in such a huge way in our life. Here's what this lady says. She says, she prays, "Lord, if he's not for me, give me a sign." And you can't see it here, but it actually, the sign says Sign Street. So there you go. That's a sign. But sometimes God will move in huge ways. Sometimes he'll communicate clearly, right? Sometimes we get to have those kind of mountaintop moments. A friend of mine has some family that's in the California area where the wildfires have been burning this week. And they were really scared because the fire was coming right up next to their home and they had to flee. And everybody was praying, and there was a lot of emotion and a lot of crying out to God for help and hoping that their house was spared and everything would be okay. And then they got word that their house was destroyed and everything they had was gone, except for what they were able to carry out. A little while later, they were finally able to get back to that area as the fire had continued to advance. And they actually found that they had heard wrong, that there was almost like a circle around their house Their house wasn't burned. They lost one like trailer that was on their property. And then the fire just kind of burned around their house, burned 30 acres in that area, and their home was fine. Sometimes you get those yay God amazing mountaintop moments, right? Not always, but sometimes you do. And man, Elijah has just had this kind of incredible mountaintop, God moving, undeniable sort of moment. He's on Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel is where he does sort of a showdown with the prophets of a god named Baal that a lot of the people were starting to turn to and to worship. And so there's 450 prophets of Baal on one side and Elijah's on the other. And they build this huge altar with wood and they've got stones around it. And the whole idea is this: whoever's God is the true God will rain down fire on the altar and burn it up. That's how we'll know who the true God is. And so the prophets of Baal, they get to go first, 450 of them, right? And they start chanting and dancing and praying and doing their thing and nothing happens, right? And this goes on for hour after hour and eventually they start cutting themselves and bleeding, and they're doing all the things, right, to try to get God to like show up, move, do something. And then Elijah, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, Elijah starts trash talking them like they're playing basketball or something and they're out on the court. Man, Elijah's like, "So where's your God at? Is he asleep?" You know, they're dancing around, cutting themselves. Like, and then he says, "Did he go on a trip? What, did he go on a trip? He's gone. He's not available. He's asleep." And then one of my favorite lines in the Old Testament, Elijah says, "Is he in the bathroom?" No lie. I'm not making this up. Read it for yourself. He's like, "Is he in the bathroom? Is he taking care of business? Can't come out?" Like, you know, where's your God, right? He's like full-blown NBA trash-talking them. Finally, they're done. Nothing happens. All the prophets of Baal are exhausted. They're worn out. And here's Elijah, just one guy, 450 of them. And then there's just Elijah. And when it's his turn, he says, "Put water on the wood." Not once, not twice, but three times. He's throwing down. He's done in a different way. Put water on the wood. And then he doesn't like cut himself and dance around and chant. He just prays a simple prayer. He says, "God, you know, reveal yourself, reveal who you are, show your glory." And fire comes from heaven and strikes the altar and it burns the rocks and everything around it. And it's like this huge moment of vindication in Elijah's life. Like, God moved. He did it in front of everybody. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 18, check this out. Help me on the red word here. It says, "And when all the people," what? "Saw it." So the people had gathered there. They saw the fire come from heaven. They fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." So Elijah thinks, we're about to have full-blown revival. It's about to break out across the whole country. Everybody's seen it now. This question is closed. This thing is over. It's done. God's moving. He's showing up. So he's excited. He's fired up. He's just had this incredible moment. But he'll go from that to 2 days later, sitting under that tree that we just read about, saying, "God, I'm done. Take my life." Here's what happens. The same God that gave you victory on the mountain will be with you in the valley. And when we get into the valley, we got to remember what God did when we were on the mountain. When things are hard, when they're difficult, you got to remember how God showed up and moved. You got to remember that he's still working. Listen, I'm going to speak to somebody today. I'm going to give you some encouragement, okay? Just kind of lean into this. Look, even when you feel lost, God's working. Even when you feel defeated, he's working. Even when nothing is working, he's working. Listen, even when you feel forgotten, he's working. Even when his plans are too big for you to see, he is working. Even when you lose control, he's working, right? Even when you get bad news, he's working. Even when you're worrying, he's working. Even when you can't see a way that it will work out, he is working. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can delay him. Nothing can confuse him. Nothing can surprise him. He's working today. He'll be working tomorrow. He'll complete the good work that he started in you. Somebody needs to hear this today. Listen, he's working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Our God is working. So things may be hard and they may be difficult, but you got to remind yourself of what God did for you on the mountain. You got to remember when he saved you by his grace. You got to remember when he provided for you in the past when you didn't think there was any way that provision would show up. You got to remember when he redeemed you and worked in your life when you couldn't see any other way for things to happen. You got to look back and remember those victories and celebrate them. Because the first thing that goes when we get in the valley is often the memory of all that God did in our life on the mountain. And so remember your victories. Here's another thought for how you combat that lie that says, I'm done. And that is this: fight the whirlpool. Fight the whirlpool. Now, when my son was little, Ethan, he got into this thing that kids can get into, and he just loved flushing things down the toilet. I mean, it was like the greatest moment in his life was a moment he could get any kind of thing and put it in the toilet and flush it and just watch that whirlpool go. And he'd dance and he'd in his little diaper and he'd jiggle and he'd be laughing and he's just like, he's the coolest. And then the longer it went on and the more frustrated I got, the more he loved it for other reasons, you know, because he knew like it was wrong. He didn't know very much. He's just a little kid, but he knew, man, I can push this lever and the swirly thing happens and Emma's doll goes away. I got so good. I got so tired, first of all, of playing plumbers to come over that I got so good at, like, I mean, I kept wax rings on bulk in my garage, and I could pop a toilet off, get that whole thing up. I dug out all kinds of things. I was the master of the coat hanger, y'all. I'm talking about dolls, sunglasses, toys, dog food, Legos, you name it, cars, all kinds of stuff. He'd try to flush down that toilet till eventually he'd get all clogged up. He loved it. And I remember one day we'd had a conversation because I was like, Ethan, I'm done with this, man. You got to stop. That's enough. You know, next step is we're going to have to put like bolts on things so you can't get to them, right? Like this, we're finished. And so he stopped for a little while. He was good. And then one day I walked into the guest bathroom, about right off his room, and I flushed the toilet. Nothing happened. And I'm like, oh, man. And so I start looking for him all over the house. I can't find him. Like, he's obviously hiding from me, but I couldn't figure out. He's so little. I'm like, he can't be that smart. You know, like, where is he? Well, he never even left the bathroom. I finally found him. He just stepped over into the shower and pulled the shower curtain. So I pull that shower curtain back, and he's sitting there, and he can tell, man, Dad's at a, this is nuclear. Dad is at a level I've never seen Dad before. I was angry. His little lip starts quivering, and I sat down, you know, on the toilet there, and I said, hey, why did you do this? I mean, we've talked about this. You know this is wrong. You said you weren't going to do this again. Why did you do it? And my little kid, I'll never forget what he said. He goes, Dad, sometimes I want to do what's right, but I just do what's wrong. And it was one of those moments as a parent where I was so blown away that he said that, I couldn't even discipline him. I just looked at him and said, you know, I understand that. I comprehend that at a soul level, Ethan, right? Who comprehends that at a very deep level, right? Like, yeah, I get that. Now that I get, right? Sometimes I want to do what's right, but I still do what's wrong. And I was like, okay, I understand. I get that. But one of the things that happens when we're in the valley, when we're hurting, is sometimes these lies start to swirl around in our mind and we allow them to grow and we've got to fight back against that. In fact, sometimes it starts to work like this. I've got a little whirlpool here and these aren't necessarily in order, but let's say you have a bad moment, right? And then that bad moment, like in Elijah's case, Jezebel puts out this death threat on him and it starts to lead to bad feelings. You know, I'm all alone. Nothing's going to change. Everybody hates me. Everybody's against me, right? And then it goes down to bad thoughts, right, that continue to take root in our heart, that lead to bad assumptions about God and others, that leads to this sort of bad conclusion. I'm done. I'm finished. There's no hope for me. There's no way that I can move forward. That's where Elijah is. He allows these lies to whirlpool in his life, to spin in his life, and to begin to pull him down with them. He walks on this long journey. He's alone. That's one thing we should acute into. Like, he doesn't have anybody with him. He's gone out on his own. He's on the run, and he just starts to think things are never going to change. It's always going to be this way. Yesterday, I thought we were going to have a revival. Now the queen wants me dead. Like, it's gone from bad to worse. And then he says, I've had enough. And here's what we read, 1 Kings 19, verse 4. He says to God, take my life, for I am what? No better. I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. He's like, just take me out, God. Just finish me off. And so he's allowed these lies to grow in his heart and in his mind. And that can happen to all of us, but we have to fight back against what I would call the whirlpool, against the downward pull of these negative thoughts and emotions. And don't look at me like you haven't had a lot of negative thoughts and emotions over the last several months, right? You got to push back against that with the truth of God's word. Here's what happened in Elijah's situation. He fought back in several different ways. One is to fight back with food. I mean, here's what's interesting that all of us need to hang on to. In Elijah's case, it wasn't the end of his story. It was actually the start of a new chapter. And sometimes it feels like everything's ending, but God uses your kind of valley as the pathway to your next victory. And so in Elijah's case, he had to fight back with food, and the angel comes, and he's like exhausted and worn out, and he says, basically, eat. You need to eat. Have you ever thought about this? When you're frustrated, when you're alone, when you're not sure what's going on, sometimes what you need is you just need food, sustenance. He probably hadn't eaten in maybe up to 2 days. He was hungry. He was hangry. Right? Anybody get hangry? Yes. Fight back with food. Next thing is to fight back with rest. Elijah needed rest. He needed to sleep. And so after he eats, you know what he does? He just crashes. Listen. Sometimes when you're emotionally drained and you're incredibly frustrated and you feel like I'm done, I'm finished, life's not worth living, man, what you need more than anything else is you need food and you need rest. And it is okay to rest, right? He's been running on pure adrenaline, and so rest is a huge thing. Not only fight back with rest, the third thing is to fight back with truth, to fight back with truth. And, you know, we all need to take the truth that God has given us and begin to live that out. Elijah, you know, he was just in this place where he come off incredible high, and it was a victory, but it was also draining. And so he needs food, he needs rest, and he needs God's truth to work and to show up in his life. And so do we as well. So I don't know where you're at in your life, but when you start thinking you're done, and when that lie starts taking root in your life, I need you to step back from it for a minute and just ask yourself, are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you reading God's word? Are you leaning in to the Bible? Are you allowing God to speak to you in the midst of the situation that you're up against? You need truth. So I put together a list of lies that we often believe, and then I've paraphrased some scripture just to push back on those lies. So listen, when you hear, I'm all alone, you got to remember that God says, I will never abandon you. When you hear, everything is ruined, you got to remember that God says, I can do more than you can think or imagine. When you hear that, hey, it'll never work out, you've got to remember that God says, is anything too hard for me? Listen, when you hear no one has a plan, you got to remember God says, I know the plans I have for you. Listen, when you hear I don't matter, remember God says, I made you on purpose for a purpose. Listen, when you hear no one is looking out for you, you got to remember that God says, no one who puts their faith in me will ever be put to shame. When you hear nobody cares about me, remember that God says, nothing can separate you from my love. When you hear no one listens to me, remember, God says, I hear your prayers and know what you need. When you hear it's all over, remember, God says, look, I am already doing a new thing. When you hear I can't change, remember, God says, I will complete the work that I began in you. When you hear I'm not strong enough, remember, God says, I will be your strength. When you hear the worst is on the way, remember God says, my best is yet to come. Turn the whirlpool of defeat into a whirlpool of hope. Flush the lies before they flush you. Because listen, no matter how done you feel, God is not done with you. So remember his victories. Fight the whirlpool and then begin again. So what Elijah does is he goes on this this. First of all, he's having this moment where he's so down and he gets food and he gets rest and all of this. And the whole point of that was so that he could go on to complete what God had for him. Elijah thought he was in the end. He thought it was the fourth quarter and it was all over. And what he found out is it was only halftime. And somebody needs to hear this today. You think you're done. You think you're finished. But listen, friends, you're not dead yet, so you're not done yet. It's just halftime. Like, God has got to get you ready, and he can get you ready right now in the valley like no other season in your life. He's got some of your attention span right now like he's never had it in your entire life. Now he can form you. Now he can get you ready, not for the end, but for what's coming next. And in Elijah's case, he would go on to great heights. He still had a lot to do, but God met him in that low moment and worked in his heart and life and showed him he could begin again. So Elijah goes on this hike, basically, for 40 days. And he goes to this mountain that's very famous. It's the mountain where God met Moses. And so, you know, years before. So it's this huge kind of famous place because Elijah needs clarity. He needs to hear from God. And he's looking for God. He's searching for God. He goes to this mountain. He goes to this cave. And basically what happens is the Bible says this huge like windstorm comes onto the area there, and he sees this windstorm, but it says God was not in the windstorm. And then he sees this like earthquake that happens, and so the ground's shaking, right? But it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there's fire, and I don't know what all that means, but like the things that are on fire, fire's burning. I don't know if it's lightning, I don't know what, but it's God's not in the fire. And then this is fascinating. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, Elijah's searching for truth. Here's what we read. It says, after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle what? Whisper. A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Why did he wrap his face in the cloak? Because in the Old Testament, you know, the core idea of God's glory and presence was that no one can see God in this full glory and live. And so, you know, he cloaks himself and he goes out. But I think it's fascinating that when Elijah needed clarity, when he needed to hear from God, when he needed a word from God, God came. And he came to show him that it didn't have to come in fire and earthquakes and windstorms. It didn't have to come from the big, extreme moments in our life. Sometimes God can move in huge ways. He can just reveal himself. He can spare your house in a fire. He can do supernatural things where you just go, that was God, I can't deny it. But listen, most of us don't live in that extreme. Most of our days are lived in the in-between, the valley and the mountaintop, right? Most of our days are lived in the plains. And the interesting thing about what I think the Bible's teaching us here is God showing Elijah, hey, all of that's great. But it's the gentle whisper, it's the still small voice of God, it's the everyday moments where God can show up and bring inspiration and clarity to our lives. And my prayer for you, church family, every day has been that you would experience God's voice in your own heart in these moments. His voice that gives, as Paul says in the New Testament, peace that passes understanding. A supernatural peace that passes understanding. There's a lot we don't understand. We don't understand what's coming in the future. We don't understand what's going to happen in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. We don't know how the business projections are going to look. We're not sure what future planning is going to look like. We don't know. You just go down the list, right? But God has a peace that is available to us if we will access it, that is beyond understanding and can carry us through this season. And my prayer for you is that you'll experience it even in your life today. Listen, with God, it's never too late for a new beginning. And so today, even though you may feel defeated, even though you're tired, even though you feel like it's too little, too late, my encouragement to some of you today is just start praying again. Start believing again. Start hoping again. Start loving again. Start giving again. Start serving again. Start forgiving again. Start dreaming again. Start laughing again. Start living again. It is never too late to begin again. Your life is not over. Your story is not finished. Your calling is not canceled. Your mission is not mangled. Your purpose is not poisoned. Your destiny is not derailed, and your dreams are not dead. Anything that tells you otherwise is a lie. It's a lie. And you know what we do with lies? We flush them. and we flush them out with God's truth, taking prominence in our heart and in our lives. Listen, you have a Savior who sees you. You have an advocate who guides you. You have a Spirit who strengthens you. You have a future that Jesus Himself is preparing for you. You're not dead yet, so you're not done yet. Keep going. Don't give up. But even if you do, begin again. Get the lies out of your mind, or you'll go out of your mind. So remember God's victories. The same God who gave you the victory is with you in the valley. Fight the whirlpool. Flush the lies before they flush you. Turn that whirlpool of defeat into a whirlwind of hope. And then begin again. It's never too late for a new beginning. Because no matter how done you feel, God is not done with you. Friends, I know somebody today, you're at a place right now where you felt done. Maybe done with God, maybe done with faith, and maybe for the first time in a long time, you're open. God's been tapping you on the shoulder. He's been moving in your heart and in your life. And I'd love to give you an opportunity just to reach out to Him and experience His goodness and His mercy in your life today. So if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus today, if you'd like to take that step, I want to invite you to just repeat after me a simple prayer asking God to move and work in your life. Would all of you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you'd like to take that step, just repeat after me, either out loud or in your own heart. Just say, "Dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you in Christ's name." And friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just slip your hand in the air and just make eye contact with me, just to say before God, to say to me, you're going to follow Him in your life today. God bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you. Just reach out to Him today. Thank you. God, we love you. I thank you for each person just reaching out today, and I pray you'll fill them with your goodness, your hope. God, may we all walk in your truth every day in our lives, and may we experience your love each moment. Thank you for the small moments when you reveal yourself to us. Thank you that no matter how done we may feel, you're not done with us. And I thank you for each of these individuals who've reached out to you to experience your forgiveness and your grace today. In Christ's name, amen.